working in the group of the professor Bruce Gorlin for over a year now, where I'm mainly using time-of-flight inelastic neutron scattering technique to study new exotic states in recently synthesized materials. Today, I'd like to talk about a project on 5D compounds, which actually was initiated by Jeremy Carlo and Pat Clancy, who are now at Villanova University and University of Toronto, where they first studied the sort of the cubic double perovskite 4D3 analog of this compound. And so I'd like to talk about the 5D version of it and try to infer some meaningful information, especially on the strengths of spin orbit coupling effects in this compound. the important point and the interesting feature of these compounds is that they have both a strong spin orbit coupling and a strong electronic correlation, and that may help to stabilize new exotic states. So this is what we are precisely looking for here. So the samples was synthesized in the group of John Greedens at McMaster University, where the synthesis and the structural and magnetic refinements were done was by Casey Majorison and Corey Thompson. And the neutron inelastic work was done at the Spallation Neutron Source at Oak Ridge National Lab by myself and Dalini Maharaj, who is a graduate student at McMaster. Okay, so why spin orbit coupling is of interest here? Well, to illustrate that, here is a diagram extracted from a very recent review by Witzak Krempa and collaborators, which shows the effect of the interplay between electronic correlation and a strong spin orbit coupling. So this diagram displays four different regions. So on the left-hand side, you have the two, let's say, conventional region with a very weak spin orbit coupling, where starting from a simple metal, the presence of strong electronic correlation can drive the system into a more insulator state. And so when you had a strong spin orbit coupling, you can start to stabilize new phase. Well, again, so starting from a simple metal, you can have topological insulators, for example, which usually are fine with S and P elements when S and P elements are involved. But you can also have the fourth region, where you have both a strong spin orbit coupling and electronic correlation. And this region has been actually rather poorly explored so far. And as you can see, theoretically, you have many interesting exotic phases stabilized there, among them non-magnetic quadrupolar and spin-liquid phases, for example. And this is a sort of the motivation of our work to explore this part of the phase diagram. So the two compounds I'm going to talk about crystallize in the double perovskite structure, which can be described as a framework of alternating corner-shared octahedra here, enclosed in a cube of four barium cations. So this is a so-called rock-salt order double perovskite structure, and it's interesting because this structure is very versatile and can accommodate very large ions such as osmium and ruthenium, where precisely strong spin orbit coupling is expected. So the important points I'd like to mention too are that, first, both compounds remain with a cubic structure down to 3.5 Kelvin. And there is only a minute level of intersite mixing defects in these compounds, which makes them very interesting to look at. And lastly, so if you look at only the magnetic ions, or osmium, for example, here, they formed a magnetic regular FCC lattice, which, in the presence of antiferromagnetic interaction, is frustrated. And so the presence of antiferromagnetic interaction is established by the Curie-Weiss temperature, which is negative, of about minus 700 K for the osmate and minus 400 K for the ruthenate. Okay, so now I'm switching to the inelastic scattering results. So in inelastic neutron scattering, we are measuring the dynamic structure factor, S and Q and omega, and its dependence regarding to the scattering vector and the energy transfer omega. And one particularity of the time-of-flight technique is that you can measure both the elastic and the inelastic scattering at the same time. So what kind of information can you infer from that? Well, broadly speaking, the elastic scattering will give you information about the magnetic structure and the nature of the ground state, if it's long or short range order with the appearance of magnetic drag peaks. Whereas the inelastic scattering will inform you about the excitation, for example, spin waves, and also you can ultimately use them to refine the Hamiltonian of your system. So I will start with the elastic scattering. So this measurement was performed with an incident energy of 40 MeV, which gives you a resolution of about 1 MeV. So here is the intensity dependence and the scattering vector. So these measurements were done on polycrystalline samples. So the intensity were integrated over just about the resolution, so about 1 MeV, to get the elastic scattering. And so as you can see here, we have the appearance of magnetic back peaks located at 0.76 and 1.06 inverse angstroms, which can be indexed as 100 and 110. And they are both resolution limited, and the width is temperature independent, which stands as a signature of a three-dimensional long-range magnetic order. So the magnetic structure can be refined and is consistent with the type 1 FCC order. And the important point is that the magnetic moment, which is found, is actually about very reduced, because it's 1.65 μb per osmium, which is very reduced compared to the spin-only value moment, which is probably one of the first evidence for the presence of strong spin-orbit coupling in this system. So by integrating over the 100 peak, you can get the temperature evolution of the order parameter, which is consistent with the magnetic transition of about 68K in agreement with the magnetic susceptibility, and with what appears to be a continuous transition in the limit of our resolution here. Okay, so moving to the inelastic part. So this measurement was done with a different incident energy of 120 MeV in order to allow us to probe a higher range in energy. So this gives an energy resolution of about 7 MeV. And here I show both the energy and the scattering vector dependence of the dynamic structure factor for different temperatures. So one can see that above the magnetic transition, you clearly observe diffuse quasi-elastic intensity located at 0.76 inverse angstroms, which is characteristic of a paramagnetic regime. And as you go down in temperature, one can clearly see the opening of a gap here, separating the off-scale elastic intensity here to the inelastic excitation, which likely is the signature of broadened spin waves. And so I should mention that it's actually quite surprising to find such a large gap and a gap at all in this system, because since it's a 5 D3 system, so for a D3 electronic configuration, each T2G orbital is filled with one electron, and therefore the angular momentum should be quenched. So we expect, actually, from this naive picture, we would expect the absence of gap. So this is probably a second indication and an effect of the presence of strong spin-orbit coupling in this system. So one can also refine the value of the gap by taking Q-integrated cuts over the data. So if one do that, then you get the energy dependence of the intensity here. And so one can see quasi-elastic intensity extending up to at least 30 MeV, so well in the paramagnetic regime. And when the temperature drops down, the intensity within the gap is depleted. And below 20K, the inelastic is show this nice inelastic feature here, where from where you can estimate the gap by with a phenomenological fit with two Gaussian, which gives you a spin gap of about 18 MeV, which is actually comparable to quite broad because it's comparable to the spin bandwidth of 15 MeV here. So the other way to refine the gap is to take both integration in energy and in the scattering vector. And so we can do that for both the 120 MeV dataset and the 40 MeV one. So this row intensity has been subtracted off by the lowest temperature dataset because it's, it offers a nice and appropriate background because minimal scattering is expected within the gap here. And after correction by the Bose factor, you can actually look at the kind of dynamical susceptibility here with the temperature, the evolution in temperature. And so you can see that below the magnetic transition here, one can clearly see an exponential decrease of the intensity. And if you fit it with an exponential gapped behavior, you get an estimate of 16 MeV for the gap, which is in very good agreement to what we had before. So as I first mentioned at the beginning, the first studied compound, 4D3 with ruthenium, offers quite a meaningful comparison because, first of all, it displays the same magnetic structure, magnetic and, of course, structural structure, so cubic double perovskite. But the only difference is the magnetic ions goes from osmium to ruthenium, and so from 5D to 4D. So it's basically the size and then the spin orbit coupling value, which should change. So in the ruthenate, you also have a gap, but which is quite small compared to what we have in the osmate. So it's about 5 MeV. And if you look at the ratio, actually, of the calculated spin orbit coupling constant for the free ions, well, the ratio is about between osmate and ruthenate is about 3.4. And it's exactly the same, almost the same value we have for the ratio of the gap. So I believe this also stands as an evidence for the fact that the effect of the spin orbit coupling is showing up with this presence of a gap here in this system. So here comes my summary here. So the 5D3 based cubic double perovskite, so barium 2, yttrium, osmium, oxygen 6, has been characterized and studied through inelastic neutron scattering. So we observed the presence of a long-range antiferromagnetic order below 68 Kelvin, which remains reduced compared to the Kurzweil temperature, which might be an indication of a frustration here, which is not surprising because the FCC lattice is a frustrated one. And I would say that the presence of strong spin orbit coupling showed as two main phenomena. First, the observation of a reduced order moment of about 1.65 MeV, μb, sorry. And also with the presence of a large spin gap. And moreover, the ratio of the gaps, so as I said, for the osmate and the ruthenate, is essentially the same as the ratio of the spin orbit coupling constant for the free ions. So, so I would say, as a conclusion, that along with the iridates, the osmate family might also be interesting to look at for looking for this spin orbit coupling effect. And we are working in this direction by investigating magnetic properties of more complex configuration with 5D1 and 5D2 system, where exotic ground states have been predicted also, too. Yeah. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Any questions for our speaker?
Yep. Yep. I'm going to show you this one, for example. Yes, but I mean, here, I guess I should mention that here only the empty can has been subtracted. So you still have some contribution other than magnetic here. Although we are at very low Q, so it's the dominant features. What are you referring to this part? So this is the elastic line, actually. This is completely off scale because our resolution is about 7 MeV for this measurement. So everything which is below 7 MeV is elastic for us.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.